Welcome back. My name is Abby Sternberg, and you're listening to my show, Making the Cut. I'm sad to say, but this week is our final episode of the little mini-series I've created for y'all. So to close out, I decided I wanted to switch up what we have done so far and take a look at the romance genre. We have not really looked at this much before, and I think it'd be a really good way to close out by doing something just a little different. Now, what you have been waiting for, though, the movie. What is it? Drum roll, please. Pride and Prejudice. This movie is an all-time classic written by Jane Austen in the late 1800s, way before its time. I won't spoil anything to come, so I'll stop here, but this one is a goodie, I swear. You're gonna want to stick around. And don't forget, on when we happen upon the review, my best friend Jess is going to join us in our discussion. When I first told her about my idea for this podcast, the first thing she said was how I had to do an episode for Pride and Prejudice. At first, I was a little skeptical and decided to just watch it and see from there, but I was taken aback. The movie was great, and I knew I had to do an episode on it, so I thought it was only fair to bring her on to discuss it with me. But there is a special announcement at the end of the episode, so please stick around in it because you will not want to miss it. But now, sadly, for the final time, I will say this. Sit back, relax, maybe even get some popcorn. I'm just saying, be prepared for a good time. No, not a good time, a great time. No, not a great time, the best time. I'm gonna miss saying that, I'm not gonna lie. But now we're getting into the history of the genre section, and that means we gotta put on our history caps. We're in learning mode. Are we ready? I think we're ready. Okay, so romance films are love stories or affairs of the heart that center on passion, emotion, and the romantic, affectionate involvement of the main characters, usually a leading man and lady. And the journey that their love takes through courtship or marriage, romance films make the love story or the search for love the main plot focus. The first romance film can be traced back to Thomas Edison's early 22nd long, The May Irwin Kiss, from 1896, with other films following suit in the early 1900s, which include Camille, Intolerance, Male and Female, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. I personally only really heard of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, but romance is not, I wouldn't say it's not my favorite. I watch a whole bunch of romance movies, but I've never really looked into the history compared to like some of the other genres that we've done in the past. So this has been a really like informational time for me, and I'm really enjoying it. So I also wanted, moving on to that, for more information that I learned, some films that are like a highlight to this genre are Pillow Talk from 1959, Lover Come Back 1961, Say Anything 1989, Almost Famous 2000, Jerry Maguire 1996, Emma 2020, Pride and Prejudice 2005, Bridget Jones' Diary, Red Dust 1932, Hell's Angels 1930, Titanic, and Gone. There are also many directors and actors in the field that have cultivated the film genre since the beginning. There's people that have been the ones we have daydreamed about and cried for, too. The ones I've chosen to highlight include Rudolph Valentino, Theda Barrow, Garbo and Gilbert, Gaynor and Farrell, Gable and Crawford, Jean Harlow, Cameron Crowe, Jane Austen, Hugh Grant, and Julia Roberts. These people have been really big in the romance. They've either directed these movies or written these books like Jane Austen, or they've been the on-screen, like Julia Roberts or Rudolph Valentino, the first major heartthrob ever. It's really nice being able to look back and seeing this combination of people that we've all have, it's romance, we're gonna cry. Just, we've all done it. And it's really good just being able to notice who these actors are, not just the people we see them as. And the genre does gain, moving a little bit off topic of them, to the recognition and awards with the industry, they gain a lot, and that continues within the BAFTAs, Oscars, Golden Globes, Actors Guild Award, and many more. Like Casablanca, Shakespeare in Love, and Brokeback Mountain. All romance genres have run Oscars, and there's many, many more I could include, but this time I wanted to give you just a little bit of a shorter list. I know sometimes my list can drag on just a little bit. I'm learning over this time too. Trying to make it a little bit more enjoyable through our history lesson. But anyway, continuing on. The genre, from what I can tell, is not going anywhere, as new movies are continuously being done to this day, especially in the subgenre of rom-coms, as Netflix seems to be choosing them all the time. People love a good romance movie because everyone loves love and likes to see it fostered too for others. It allows them to take a step back from reality, much like all other movies seem to be able to do, but like, love just holds a special place in our hearts. Right? I think so. Anyway, finally, for the tone of the romance films, they often explore the essential themes of love at first sight, young and older love, unrequited love, obsessive love, sentimental love, spiritual love, forbidden love, and sexual and passionate love, sacrificial love, explosive and destructive love, and finally, tragic love. Get a little Streetcar Named Desire in there. We all remember that one. That was, I think, tragic love to its finest point. That's just a little drop for my English class. Y'all know who you are. Y'all know the book and the play. That was one of the most enjoyable things I think I've read in English, so I just had to mention it. And anyway, as they are great escapes and fantastic for viewers, especially if two people finally overcome their difficulties, declare their love, and experience life happily ever after, implied by a reunion and a final kiss. I feel like it's just like, you know, at each end of those rom-coms or whatever, they have that one kiss, or even like the sad, like, romantic dramas. It just ends and the screen goes dark and you just feel at peace with what happened. Oh my god. I love a good romance. You'll find out later. But anyway, this is the end of our history lesson. We're gonna take our history caps off for that final time. Let's all do it with me. Gah! It's off. Might not have seen it. I realize I probably shouldn't have done the hand motion because y'all can't see it, but you know, it's okay. Anyway, very sad. I did love these mini genre lessons. I feel like I've learned a lot. You guys have to let me know what you've learned or like what genre you liked best learning about it, which you'll find out at the end how you can reach me to do so. So you gotta stay even more. But now we're going to the movie discussion. So you guys know the drill. It is a spoiler alert I give before every movie review. This is your time to skip ahead to the ending because I do have an important announcement you do not want to miss, though I hope you do stay for the review again. This is my favorite part, and you'd miss out on our guest if you left so soon. Plus, again, this movie is amazing. You must listen to it. It's one of my favorites, even if you have no clue what we're talking about. Just do it. It's really good. Anyway, now back to our segment of Quick Facts with Abby. You guys know the drill. I'm going to pull from Rotten Tomatoes the synopsis of the film and some fast facts about the movie's general info. So without further ado, let's get into it. Jane Austen's prenatally popular story of the game of love among the British upper classes returned to the screen in this polished film adaptation. The Bennets are the parents of five daughters near the close of the 18th century. Comfortable within their means, but well short of rich, Mr. and Miss Bennet are looking for suitable husbands for their girls, and they're encouraged to learn that an eligible young bachelor from a wealthy family, Charles Bingley, has moved into a nearby estate. Eager to see if a match can be made, the Bennets bring their daughters, Elizabeth and Jane, to a ball thrown by their neighbors to see if sparks will fly. Jane seems to like Charles, and he appears to feel the same, but Elizabeth takes an immediate dislike to Darcy, Charles' egocentric best friend. When Elizabeth is infatuated with military man Lieutenant Wickman and finds herself courted by William Collins, a well-meaning but drab man of the cloth, fate causes Elizabeth and Darcy to frequently cross paths, and while they don't care for one another, they can't stop thinking about each other either. Pride and Prejudice also stars Jean Malone, Julie Dench, and Penelope Ridden, and this is from Mark Deming Rovey. So I know it sounds already like reading that I would want to watch this movie immediately, like just already sounds so good. Yeah, anyway, now to the basic facts. Rating is PG for some mild thematic elements. The genre is comedy, drama, romance. That's why we were talking about it. It's directed by Joe Wright, and it is written by Deborah Mogatch. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but we're gonna go with it. And anyway, it is in theaters November 11, 2005 worldwide, and it was on disc/streaming February 28th, 2006. The box office made a total of $38,251,759. The runtime is 128 minutes, and the studio is Focus Features. And finally, the movie was nominated for 4 Oscars, but they sadly did not win any, which I don't understand. If you've seen the movie, like, I don't understand how everything is shot beautifully. We'll get into later, like, on more details, but just know, like, this deserved an Oscar. They were snubbed. Okay, that concludes, sadly, for the last time, the segment, Quick Facts with Abby. Boo. I know, our favorite part of the show. It was mine. Maybe no. Yeah, it is. One of my top three favorite parts. I love a good quick fact. I don't know. Again, let me know. Again, you have to wait to the end to know how you let me know. But I want to hear your guys' favorite part. But alas, all good things must come to an end. But we still have so much more fun to have before it completely ends. Am I right? I know I'm right. Now let's segue to the next part of this movie review, my opinion. At first, I said earlier I was skeptical if I was going to like it or not, for who knows what reason, but I was. Though, that all changed as barely 5 minutes in, I knew this movie would be amazing. I personally really identified with the main character of the film because, like her, I come from a big family and want to pave my own route. I think she's just the right amount of sarcasm and while meaning likability throughout, and yet I cannot give a review without mentioning her beau, Mr. Darcy. He was just as great throughout the movie. At first he seems terrible and very unlikable, but then you get to know him and realize he'll do anything for love. The movie overall is great beginning to end and wraps everything up so nice. I have to mention how before the time this movie was, as Jane Austen wrote this woman empowerment movie while only in the 1800s. That is what also makes this movie so great. Though, now I'm gonna stop rambling so you guys know how I feel about it. It is amazing. So now, let's give a warm welcome to our guest, my best friend, Jess. So, what was your opinion about the movie?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's one of my favorite movies of all time, I have to say. I'm a sucker for romance, so this is like one of my absolute favorite movies, and I think I've probably watched it about like 50 times now. It's like so beautiful. The cinematography is amazing. The shots in it are so cool. It's gorgeous. And the story itself is so beautiful. I think Jane Austen did a really, really good job for her time.
I didn't think I was gonna like it, but I watched it and it was just so amazing. Like the garden shot, like at the end, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That was just so beautifully done. Like, even though you would think you'd be bored after sitting in that garden for like 5 minutes, I think we just sat there in silence watching like this like beautiful sunrise, but it was shot so well done. Yes! Oh my god, it was so good. Everyone's probably listening to us and they're gonna be like, wow, this is why we do not have, this is why we haven't had a girl on the show without, because they.
It's so, but like the movie, it's so crazy. Like, I can't help but gush about it. Like, it's just, like, I don't think there's like much that I could criticize about it, you know?
I know, and this is like, okay, we're gonna talk about criticism later. You know, I like love this movie. Like, you're the one who got me into this movie. So
yes,
amazing. And
I
know
practically forced you.
You did. But it's okay.
To watch it.
Mm-hmm. How else would that be?
Yeah. I've been asking you too for a while, and then I saw this as an opportunity that you should take.
I know,
it.
And I took it. I was really skeptical because I was originally going to do The Time Traveler's Wife. Like, that was the OG plan. But then I was like, you know what? I'll give it a try. Like, we'll see. And then it was like the best movie ever. Now I have to watch Emma soon enough. I will, eventually.
It was really good. For anyone who's listening, you should go watch Emma, too. It's also by Jane Austen.
Yeah. Okay, so we're getting off topic. We got to talk about the characters. Our favorite. I feel like if we keep on talking, like, we're just going to be off topic the entire time. And we're going to have to, like, rein ourselves in.
It's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, characters. That's what we're discussing. Yes.
Okay.
Topic set in place. Favorite, least favorite, who was not necessary? Do you want to go? I know I always like to let the guests go first, and then I like to interject my opinions later.
I have to say, I love Jane. Jane's just Jane.
Love Jane. Who doesn't love
like,
Jane?
Like, she's so. I don't know. I just love Jane. My least favorite is.
Oh, sorry.
No, go.
Okay. I was just saying, did Jane name that character, like, after... Like, did she base herself on Jane, the character?
No, I don't think so.
I guess you're right. I get She'd more be like, is it Elizabeth? Yes, that's English. Elizabeth. Continue on. Sorry. That was like so off topic.
No. That's actually interesting. I've never thought about that before. I'll have to look it up after this. But, yeah, my favorite character is probably Jane. She's just so... I love Jane. And I think my least favorite character is, oh my gosh. What's his name? The one who marries,
Oh my god, now I'm...
Lydia?
Yeah, oh my god, now I'm... I feel like it starts with, like, a seat. Is it Mr. Wickham? Yes, it is Mr. Wickham.
It's Mr. Wickham. I hate him.
Oh my god.
He's my least favorite.
He's just like, oh my god. I know, like, he was meant to be there to be, like, hated, but, like, he was just so bad.
Yeah. Well, because originally you like him. In the beginning, you think he's a good guy when you first meet him.
Are we talking about the same character?
Yeah, the guy who marries Lydia.
Oh my god, I completely was thinking about the wrong character. I was thinking about Mr.
Which
Collins.
Which character were you thinking about?
I was thinking of the cousin.
I kind of love him.
I completely mistaken the character.
It's so funny. No, I hate Mr. Wickham.
Oh no, he completely used Lydia for money and then married her for all the wrong reasons.
Well, but also in the beginning you like him. Like, he's one of the characters that, like, changes.
I know, because he makes
Mr.
Darcy
in the beginning you meet him with Elizabeth. And he's, like, so nice. And then he makes up this whole story about Mr. Darcy.
I hate Mr. Wickham's too. I just completely mistaken him, though, for a different character.
No, you're cool. I mean, we could talk about Mr. Collins. It was funny.
He was funny, but
oh my god.
He was so bad. When he, like, proposed to Elizabeth... I was like, oh my god,
he was literally like, it's not like you're gonna get any other options. And I was like, bruh.
Have you met Mr.
That's
Darcy?
That's not what you say to someone when you're proposing to them.
Like, I'm your last option. So, like, marry me, please? Like, keep it in the family, let's.
Well, he didn't even say please. He, like, basically, he didn't even ask her. He was basically like, when we're wed. And she was like, what? Excuse me, I never gave you a response.
I know. I was like, yeah, that is right. He was just like, okay, so, like, we can keep the house. Your mom will be happy. Like, I know your mom wants this for us. As we're like, were they, like, first cousins or second cousins?
They
still
are cousins.
Still cousins nonetheless. Still gross.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but in that time period, it wasn't, like,
considered
considered gross.
You know, who's the most underrated but best character by far? Her father.
Oh my gosh, Mr. Bennett.
Mr. Bennett.
He's so chill. I love him.
I know. He's just like, nah, she doesn't have to get married. What are you doing?
Yeah, but he's also such, like, he plays a good dad, you know? Like, it really showcases his dadness. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. Which it's like,
no,
in the end, when they're like asking for permission to get married, he like is making sure that she genuinely wants to be married to this man. You know what I mean? It's such he's such a dad.
I love it. It like just sort of like I feel like he puts like everything in perspective, and he like made me cry. He's the reason why that was a spoiler for later, but he's the reason why I cried. It's okay. We'll let it out of the bag. I cried. What's new, guys? You've been here for now 4 episodes. When have I not cried at a movie other than Ferris Bueller? Let's be honest.
She watched the movie. She texted me and it was like, I cried. And I was like, oh. Because it's not a tearjerker. But she cried.
Okay, you know what? You've seen me cry in how
many
movies?
You loved the movie that much.
Yeah,
that's
just showed my love
of movies.
Remember, I've now mentioned this, and I think now 3 out of 4 episodes, I cried in Frozen, guys. Doesn't take much to make me cry.
Oh yeah, she did. She did, but it's okay. I cried at that too. That was sad.
It was sad. I just, oh my god.
We all felt Aisla was, you know, a goner.
I know, like, how can you get rid of the, I mean, so many shows do this, like, R.I.P. Elena Gilbert, if you guys don't know the reference, Vampire Diaries. But, you know, not a lot of things, like, get rid of the main character. I mean, like, we all knew, like, it's a Disney movie. We're on a different movie now, I've just realized.
Yeah, I was just about to say, we should go back.
Let's rewind a little bit.
Okay, wait, back to characters. What else do we need to
Oh, the cover? Mom. She was so obnoxious.
She was so...
So many times I want to punch her, I was like,
I don't know that there's anything else I could say. Like, that's, like, all I could say about her is that she was obnoxious, like...
Yeah, I wound up, like, so many times I'm, like, I was yelling at the screen at her. But, overall, I don't think there's any unnecessary characters. Like, I think there's characters we liked and disliked, but I don't think anyone was there for not, like, for no reason. Because, like, some movies, I feel... Who?
Caroline.
Which one's Caroline again?
Mr. Bingley's sister.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she wasn't that necessary.
Because she played a large part. Well, I mean, she kind of was necessary because she was part of the reason that they, like, moved away and split him and Jane up. But, like, I don't know. I feel like either she should have been more involved or less involved. Either way, I feel like there was a weirdness about her character.
She just sort of, like, was like, psych, bye. Sort of screwed you over, but bye.
She was just kind of there.
Yeah, but other than that, okay, I think we're good on characters. I think we've discussed almost all of them.
Well, we forgot about Mary. I'm kidding. All of the sisters were interesting.
Yeah, all
Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay, let's discuss the flaws of the movie. I don't know what it is.
Flaws.
Any plot holes, rushed plot, slow plot? I'll let you start. I know this is your favorite movie, so, like, let's hear what you have to say. Are there any flaws?
I mean, of course every movie has its flaws, but, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, I felt like there were parts that probably could have been explained further. Maybe, I don't know, like, certain characters, like, I would have loved to see more of Darcy's sister.
He could have gone far if they, like, let that, but I mean, again, like, we can't really blame anything on the movie.
Yeah, like, we already knew so much about her story without actually having met her yet by the time we did meet her, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Are there any that you can think of?
Looking back on it, I mean, honestly, I mean, the best friend sort of just dropped off the face of the earth by the end of the movie, and we don't really know, like, that whole plot thing.
Oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. But like, she ended up marrying Collins.
Yeah, but then they, like...
So that was kind of the end of that.
I guess, but then she went and visited the best friend. And that was a big part of the storyline.
But that was a big part of the Darcy storyline.
I guess you're right. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of any, like, blaring one on at the top of my head. Like, I know there must be some. And I've seen the movie fairly recently.
There most likely is.
I just can't think of it at, like, right now. Like, there's nothing, like, in Ferris Bueller, I could pull something out immediately. Even Avengers, there's something I could pull out.
I just thought of one. You know how Mr. Darcy was supposedly engaged to Lady Catherine's niece, I think it was?
Oh, yeah. What happened with that?
Exactly.
She sort of just went and threatened Elizabeth, and then that was it.
She went and threatened Elizabeth, and then the same, like, within a few hours, she went off and got engaged to Darcy.
Yeah, of course. That's what we all do when we get threatened, our lives threatened. We go and do the exact thing we're supposed to not do.
Yeah.
Of course.
So I guess that's the only plot hole, is that, like, I think...
Yeah, they don't
really
explain that
much. It never really went into that. It kind of went from them being engaged to them sitting on the porch being a married couple.
Yeah. I sort of wish we saw the marriage, the wedding. That's it. What?
I mean, don't you always, though?
not.
Like, in every, like, romance movie, if, they, like, a wedding isn't shown, you're always like, I wish we saw the wedding.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I think we're nitpicking at this point. Like, what are we, like, we're pulling at straws.
There's, like, really no huge flaws. There's just not.
No.
Like, it's just, like, it's a beautiful story, and the director did a beautiful job.
Of course. And, like, you might not like the movie, but I feel like there's nothing, like, real, like, you either like it or you don't type of thing. But there's no real flaws that you can be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've sort of already been getting into it with how they ended, like, being a married couple. But we're going to discuss the ending. Was it satisfying? Any grievances? What would we change? Type of stuff. So, I don't know if I'd change anything. What about you? Maybe seeing the wedding.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I don't think I would either.
No, it's so beautiful. Like, the ending is so beautiful where they're together and, like, he kisses her in front of the
lake. Well, also, like, even before that, like, when they're, like, in the garden and they're, like, basically professing their love for each other, I really like that after that they ask for the dad's permission. Because you didn't see Mr. Bingley do that, which was, like, you know what I mean? I feel like it was a nice courtesy to do that, and especially for Elizabeth.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, like you said, like, she has such a close relationship with her father. I mean, he saved her from a dreadful marriage, and he just really wanted her to be, like, that part was so sentimental, just watching her, like, him only wanting the best for her.
So, I don't think I would change anything, if I could.
Yeah, I don't think I would anyway. I think it's just, like, the ending's the ending, and there's nothing you can do to change it. There's no what-ifs, what there could be. It just is what it is. Stop. Don't laugh at me!
I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing with me?
I think it was beautifully put, yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
So we're actually, this is, like, the easiest, like, rundown of, like, what I normally ask, like, the interview portion, movie discussion that I've ever had. Like, gotta be quite honest, first time it ever took only one take. You gotta clap yourself. Like, clap for your...
Wow.
Don't know if... That's not grammar.
I don't know if they can hear that. I clapped.
No, I'm so serious.
I don't know
serious.
If you could hear.
I think we heard. I don't know. We'll check back on the recording
later. Okay.
Okay. This is the first time it's, like, gone so smoothly. This is just, like, a great finale to a wonderful podcast. But we're not done yet.
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
Oh, my God.
Knock on wood.
They're going to...
Okay, okay.
That's, like, extreme ASMR.
Okay, continue.
Okay, the rating.
Yes,
the rating,
yes,
the total
let's
movie.
Let's do that.
I gave it an 8. Which I know sort of goes against what I've been, like, praising. I've been praising this movie so much. But the reason
I
give it an 8...
Yeah, but you're not, like, a romance person.
I am a romance person, and why would you say that? I'm joking.
Like, you don't like all romance movies.
It depends, okay? I like a good... I'm more in, like, the rom... I like a good drama. I give it an 8 because when I'm watching some romance sappy movie, I don't want to just be tearing up. I want to be bawling my eyes out. I'm coming here to feel bad about my love life and love everything about theirs and cry with them. Like, this single Pringle wants to feel emotions and not just be happy for the couple. That is why it's an 8. Is it just a bias against my own life? Maybe. But that's where I stand with my rating.
Okay, well, mine's an 11 out of 10, but that's just because I love Jane Austen, I love Pride and Prejudice, and I think the movie was beautifully done, all over. I think the storyline is amazing, I think the cinematography is amazing, and I think it makes you feel good. So, I gave it an 11 out of 10. Mm. Also, it's my favorite movie of all time, so I don't think I could rate it any lower.
No, this is, like, you guys don't understand. This is the movie I've heard about for not even months, maybe years at this point. Like, I know. And I finally watched it. I should get so many.
I mean, you get some friendship points. Does that count?
Of course. That's the ones I was looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's good. I don't have to buy you ice cream.
Well, you can. I'm not opposed to the idea. Anyway, no. Now let's rate the entire genre on a scale of 1 to 10. I give it an 8.
The entire romance genre?
Yeah. So, like, all of our romance movies. Our Titanic, our Wide.
You know, I've actually never seen Titanic. Random thought. I should watch that.
Oh, no, you didn't just say that to me, did you? I don't think I heard the words
correctly. And it's freaky because I'm a romance geek. So I probably should have seen it.
How have you?
I don't know. It's like the only romance movie that I haven't seen.
I'm flabbergasted. That's like one of my favorite romance movies.
All right. I'll watch it. You don't need to convince me.
Okay, good.
My rating. I mean, it's going to be expected, but like 10 out of 10. No, I'm kidding. I mean, it depends on the movie. But like rom-coms, I love rom-coms. Like dramas, I love them. Like I pretty much love everything about romance. So yeah, 10 out of 10. I stick with my original rating.
I like that. I think we're fairly consistent with the movie and the genre. Sometimes in other episodes it's different, like been very drastic, but no, I like the consistency.
I will say, if you watch Emma, which is the other Jane Austen book that they turned into movie, like the brand new one that they just came out with, like I think this year, 2019, I don't know. No, this year, they just came out with it actually. Yeah. It's a comedy.
I'll have to look into it. Once I gain a little bit more.
It's not like Pride and Prejudice.
I think I'll like that one even better. I'm more of a comedy person.
I mean, I definitely loved it because it was an interesting modern, not modern take on it. Like, the costumes were really good, but the music was more modern. I don't know, but it's not like...
We'll have to look into it. Now, we're going to our final rating. The final rating, as of now, ever. The Richter scale of Did It Make Abby Cry? This has been a fan favorite of my ratings. Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know before we continue that the audio again got messed up sort of like last week, so it's going to be the same content, but Jess will be on my phone for the duration of her interview. Okay, so now let's get back into it. So for the Richter scale of Abby crying, I would have to give it a 3. It wasn't like in Dear John where I couldn't stop crying and I had to stop watching the movie entirely. It was just a little tear up in the end. It was like a happy cry if you get it. What about you, Jess?
I have to say it was a 0 because I don't think it was intended to make you cry. But I think maybe like the first time I watched it, I cried a little bit, so maybe I changed that to a 1.
See, it's like a happy cry. I'm not like saying like it's a sad cry. It's just like, you know, a happy cry.
Yeah.
But I guess that's all we can really say about the Richter scale of Did It Make Abby Cry, as there's nothing more to it than what it is. So I do want to thank you for your time. I really appreciate it, and I know with all the filming stuff, it's been getting a little hectic. And you're welcome. I've never gone to thank you.
Well,
I appreciate you. Oh my god. Okay, so if you want, you can plug yourself on social media. Some guests in the past have done so, but you do not have to.
No, I'm alright. Thanks, though.
Okay, and any final messages?
Just go watch Pride and Prejudice.
You heard it here, folks. You guys gotta watch Pride and Prejudice.
One with Keira Knightley.
The one with Keira Knightley. She, from 2005. If she made me watch it, now I'm making all of you watch it as well.
Yep.
Okay, so I want to thank you one last time, and we're going to close out.
All right. Thank you.
No problem. Bye.
Bye.
Thank
thank you guys for tuning in to my fourth and final episode of Making the Cut. If you guys want me to continue with the podcast, let me know by either tweeting me on Twitter or DMing me on Instagram. I even think there's a way to message me through the site Anchor, which is linked in the bio of each episode. To reach out to my Instagram, as I say every week, it is Abby Sternberg, ABBIESTERNBERG, all together, all lowercase. And for my Twitter, is the exact same thing, Abby Sternberg, ABBIESTERNBERG, one big thing, all lowercase. But y'all know this by now. I've said this every episode. But anyway, I want to give a special thank you to all my guests who have come on my show as they've helped shape it to be the amazing thing that it is today. And I also want to thank you guys because we would not have the show without the listeners. So again, if you want to hear more, please let me know. And if you have a genre or movie you want me to explore, tell me, because it's all up to you whether I continue. So goodbye, y'all. Have a good night. And thanks for joining me on this glorious ride as we saw what movies made the cut.